Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, go out and get the box set. Wonderful box set of Elaine Boozler, Timeless. And it's over 5 hours of great comedy and insight from this wonderful lady, groundbreaking lady, who was the first, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, but she was the first female to have an hour-long comedy special on cable. I believe it was Showtime, not HBO, but Showtime. And I think she was the first. Elaine, how are you?
I am fine. How are you? Nice to be talking to you.
Yeah, same here. And how's my accuracy? Historically, right? You were the first female to ever be given an hour-long cable special. Is that right?
Well, I really wasn't given one. After 2 years of begging, I had to go out and do it myself.
Yeah.
And pay for it. And, you know, all these guys go, well, I use my credit cards. I was a little kid. I didn't have credit cards. I had this tiny little savings after 12 years on the road. So I used it up and used a lot of favors and a lot of pay later. And after it was done, and it was quite great. They still didn't buy it for a year because they said, no one's interested in seeing a woman. Great show. We don't want it. So it was a very frustrating period.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that, I mean, that's not that long ago. I mean, most of the people listening, that was in their lifetime.
85. They weren't even born yet, your listeners, in 85.
I don't know about that. I think
maybe their parents weren't even born yet.
It's unbelievable, but that's how much has changed in that short period of time. I mean, it's not a long time ago. I mean, it's a generation, maybe you want to say that. But you had to do that. Do you remember, and I don't know if you want to share with us, I mean, what did it cost you to put that together? That was Party of One, right? Was that the first one?
That was Party of One, and it was one of the most successful specials ever made. When it finally made it to air, because no one wanted it, I owned it. And that's why I can release this box set. I own everything I made because no one ever wanted anything.
Wow.
And that show, in those days, specials were costing about $350,000 to do an hour special, which is cheap by today's, actually now that with digital, you know, you can do it cheaply, but in those days you had to do actual, you know, shooting on film and hours, well, months of editing. There was nothing digital, it was analog. And, you know, if you were putting together an hour show as an editor, and you no one will believe this who's young and listening, but if you wanted to change a joke, say maybe 15 minutes in or even 40 minutes in, you had to start from the beginning and re-edit the entire piece by hand.
Wow.
Because there was no such thing as moving bits of information around. So those shows used to take almost a year to edit, and I would just sit there with an editor for months. So it was, you know, that's why it was so much money. When I ended up doing the show, I had literally, after 12 years of 50 weeks a year on the road, a $10,000 savings in my $500 rent apartment, $10,000. Met a really great filmmaker who said, you know, I just finished shooting films all over. Let's go to New York, and I know everyone, and let's ask them if they'll wait till it sells to get paid. And they did. And of course, after, you know, a year, no one ever thought they would see any money. And when we wrote those checks a year later, people just called and said, we've never gotten paid, you know, afterwards.
Wow.
And we said, well, we're really honest, you know, and it took over a year, but we did it. So,
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I know. It was insane. I would go up to Showtime and HBO. Wah-wah, porn me, nobody cares. But it was just interesting for, you know, looking at the culture at the time. All the guys in stand-up were on their second specials already. And the reason I really needed it was I was 12 years on the road, going back to the same clubs for the same money, no growth, no movement up. And without one of those shows, you know, you were just going to die there, like, you know, just a bee circling a flower until it dropped dead. And, you know, they kept saying, look, no one wants to see a woman do an hour. And I would say, gosh, you know, I'm on the road 50 weeks here. My show's 2.5 hours. Here are the reviews. They're in my hand. I follow all these guys into the clubs. The first thing the club owner say is, oh, we're going to make our money back this week. Thank goodness. You know, people pay to see me do 2.5 hours. What is wrong with you? Oh, nobody wants to see it. And that's the way it was. And I'll tell you the most amazing thing. This show, I was so, you know, desperate to have this special. And so Bill Cosby, pardon the expression at the time, was, you know, the biggest thing on earth. His show had just hit number one. Letterman had never stepped out of his show. Dr. Ruth Westheimer, it was her first huge year. I had really hip Brother Theodore from New York, who was a really great guest on Letterman and cult figure in New York. And Larry Bud Melman. It was just a great show. Tom Waits, my friend, gave me his music. 12 hours, you know, 12 years of honing this comedy. They looked at me and they said, okay, we have a thing, HBO said, we have a thing called the Cinemax Comedy Experiment. We'll buy the show from you for a little bit of money and we'll cut it in half and we'll throw it on the experiment. And I said, you know what? I'm done here. And I just left. Wouldn't do it. So it was a very frustrating time. And what's fascinating is while all this was going on, many women were getting into comedy, even though there was nowhere to go. And the day that show premiered on Showtime, the next day, the New York Times had the most rave review on earth. And within a month, HBO announced their new female comedy show, Friday night, four women an hour, you know, 15 minutes each. But of course, they had to call it Women of the Night. They still had to name it after hookers.
You know? Unbelievable.
I know. So stupid.
Yeah. I mean, from every standpoint, I mean, socially, but I mean, even from a business standpoint.
Sorry.
It's fine. But let me remind folks that just might be tuning in or turning in a little late, turning on their radio right now. Frank McKay here with the wonderful Elaine Boozler. And she is just as good as you can get. And if you want to see and have it in your hands and have all of her, not all of her material, but a tremendous.
Some.
Yeah, a lot of her material in the hand. It's timeless. Elaine Boozler, timeless, and it is fantastic, and everyone go out and get it. Where can they get it, by the way?
Thanks. Well, you know, it's on Amazon. The whole box set's on Amazon. You can go through ElaineBoozler.com, and it'll take you there. But now all the individual parts are streaming. It's four of the iconic specials and a brand-new hour-long CD of all new materials. So you can stream it on Spotify or Pandora or iTunes, anywhere you want, you know, piece by piece, or buy the box set, which is a pretty nice box set, and it's very cheap. And here's a kicker if you order now. We won't send you two, but I think it's $19 on Amazon. But what we do, because I founded and run Tales of Joy, my nationwide animal rescue, if you buy the box set, you just email me, elaine@talesofjoy.net, the receipt from Amazon, and you get to choose any rescue organization around the country, and we give $25 in your name. So you're actually getting money because it's $19. We will give $25 to any animal rescue you tell us to and send you the receipt. So it's pretty good right now. That's for the first 1,000 buyers, and we do have a little bit left.
Well, that's terrific. And listen, bless you for doing what you do with the animals. That's tireless. And that's been a long time.
Every rescuer, yes, it's been 20 years, and it's nationwide, and now we're in Lebanon and Israel and a lot of other places. And by the way, that was a really astute comment, you know, about making money. You know, it was just ridiculous from the standpoint of not buying the specials, you know, the networks, because the truth is I would go in and say, look, you don't have to get it, you don't have to like me, but you can make a lot of money here.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the point. You're making a bad business decision. I'm not campaigning for women to break down. I just, you know, you're making a bad business decision. I would like to make a living and you will do great. And that's why I didn't understand it.
Yeah, it's just insane. I'm in chauvinism, yeah. Actually. It's just pure chauvinism.
Yeah.
And it's short-sighted. You gotta take your hat off to Phyllis, not that anybody wears hats anymore, but Phyllis Diller and Joan Rivers. I mean, the two of them doing this in the 60s.
And Toadie Fields, yeah.
I mean, that whole batch of women. And just think, they never gave one of them an hour-long special.
Well, remember now, cable hadn't existed. They did pretty well on network in their time. But here was the thing, and here's the big difference. And I love them all, and I take nothing away. I am doffing my imaginary cap as we speak. But the difference being, at the time, and they were funny as anyone and brilliant, they did not challenge the societal norm. At the time, when they came out, they were exactly what the guys running the business and the women watching, you know, they were housewives who complained about their husbands or their kids or cleaning or, you know, schools or whatever. Now, that's great. It's exactly what the male comics were doing. And yet those women were chastised later for being self-deprecating, which makes me laugh my head off. First of all, don't ever say that, because they were doing exactly the correct thing, reflecting their audience. audiences' lives and society's mores. That's exactly what Rodney Dangerfield, the great Rodney Dangerfield, wasn't self-deprecating. Hello. You know, they were doing what the men were doing. They were doing exactly what comedy was, and they were brilliant at it. So they were not punished because they didn't want to change anything. When I came along, I was 20, and I was really cute and sexy and smart, and it hadn't been seen, a young woman trying to look her best and be smart. And, you know, people like Johnny Carson and the really old, you know, dinosaurs who really had their very cemented views of women and didn't want a damn thing to change while they were alive, they just ran for the hills. What are you? Yeah. And that was my problem, not just being a woman, but being that girl. And that was the difference.
You know, it's so funny that you say that. The first thing I ever heard about you before I even saw you, and we're going back, you know, I mean, I remember seeing Party of One, right, when it first came out. Yeah, and I remember seeing that. But the first thing I heard about you was about your looks. You know,
thanks.
Well, I don't know. I mean, is that a compliment? I mean,
it is a compliment.
Yeah,
I guess it be ugly.
No, right.
You know, and really no one is ugly unless it comes from the inside.
Yeah.
You know. But the truth is, of course, it's a compliment. And why not? You know, I certainly want, I mean, I always called myself the first dressed up for a date comedian. Yeah. You know, of course, I was dressed up for a date in Brooklyn. So you can, you know, debate on exactly if I look good or not. But, you know, you can't take the Brooklyn out of the girl. I certainly didn't know a whole lot of, I just do what I want. No one would ever put me on the cover of, you know, a fashion magazine. But I, you know, I love where I came from. And that's who I am. I'm never going to be different. But yes, I mean, it's so funny because, you know, I remember meeting someone, she went, oh, the beautiful comedian. And I thought right then, I guess for a comedian, maybe I'm beautiful, but you know, for any other walk of life, I'm okay. You know, it's just like people go, oh, you're a really good singer. Yeah, I'm a good singer for a comedian, but for a singer, I'm probably the worst singer in the whole world. So context.
Poor Phyllis Diller. I mean, she ended up looking great after all the surgery.
Yeah.
And she talked about it and she joked about it and everything else. But I mean, she was safe, I guess, to the male comedians because she wasn't beautiful. And, you know, and she, even Joan Rivers, I mean, I think she's a beautiful woman, right? I thought she was a beautiful woman.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And she,
of course.
You know, she made herself that way. But back then in the 60s, when they were doing, you know, Ed Sullivan, I mean, they were safe. It was, there was no threat because they, you know, they weren't these knockouts and they weren't going to, I don't know why, but I mean, there was such a huge glass ceiling or an obvious glass ceiling back then. Let me remind folks that the voice you're hearing is Elaine Boozler. And if you go to Amazon or anywhere they sell great products, you can get a wonderful Elaine Boozler box set. It's called Elaine Boozler Timeless. And get it. Buy this thing. Don't try to illegally download it. Just get the damn
just download. As long as the numbers count, you can steal it. I don't care. I just need those numbers to go up because, you know, the proceeds, a lot of it goes to Tales of Joy, my animal rescue nationwide, TAILS of joy.net. And we just want to save more animals. And if you buy it now, not only will we include a jar of mayonnaise, but but $25 will go to the animal rescue of your choice anywhere in the country. And, you know, Phyllis Diller, you know, she was a genius at doing what needed to be done at the time. And I think she enjoyed it. I don't think she sold out in any way for herself. You know what I mean? She was who she was. She was the kindest, most generous, loving, wonderful, funny woman in the world. Her idol was Bob Hope. When you walked into her house, she had in the living room this beautiful gold frame, gilded portrait of Bob Hope on a music stand in front of the piano and a big bouquet of roses in front of him. She just idolized him. And, you know, she was very happy in her career. And yeah, I mean, everyone wants to be what their version of beautiful in the end. And so I'm happy that she got to do that if she wanted to, but she was amazing, you know. And and it's funny that we have to even talk about this, like, why is it a punishment to be beautiful when you're smart? Why is it a punishment to be beautiful if you're smart and funny and want to speak up? Why did it have to be punished? If you why did you have to be, you know, a complete rubber person, you know, Gumby, to be able to talk in front of people?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. The whole thing makes no sense. It's just silly.
Do you remember the first comedian that you were attracted to as a fan, as a young girl growing up, or, you know, a teen, or, you know?
Yeah. Well, there was a, it was a long time ago, and there was a woman called Betty Walker who used to do the Ed Sullivan Show, and her whole routine was she was on the phone with another mother, another girlfriend who was a mother, and the whole phone call, and I remember thinking, this is magic. She would be on the phone as the bit talking to her girlfriend, but she kept having to scream at her kids in the middle of talking. And it was, you know, she'd be in the middle of this serious thing and she'd be yelling out, Marilyn, Checky, Marilyn. And it was hilarious. It was, and I don't even know what comedy was. But I just went, what's going on? You know, I was so young and she was magnificent. And then of course the great Jean Carroll was incredible. And now here's an interesting thing. She came out gorgeous in a tight-fitting gorgeous cocktail dress, not trying to be sexy, but the most beautiful version of a woman in a home at that time. Her hair was up, she was in a cocktail dress, she was, you know, literally, if you look at her on YouTube, Jean Carroll, it's Wendy Liebman's delivery, you know, that all came from there, or consciously or not knowing, but there you go. So, you know, nothing under the sun is new, but, you know, it's all kind of repackaged and rethought and reinvented. And, you know, it comes out when it's time for it to come out. There were some great women back then, even Rusty Warren, who I got to meet very early and we're still friends to this day. You know, it's so funny what was considered dirty then, like Lenny Bruce and Rusty Warren. If you go back to Lenny, who I think is the Big Bang, and everything came from there. His DNA is in everything you see to this day. He really wasn't dirty. He was just brilliant, and didn't want to hear it. You know, the church didn't want to hear it. Government didn't want to hear it. But he was brilliant. It wasn't so dirty at all. And, you know, it's the same thing. Rusty Warren was brilliant and funny. Belle Barth was filthy like Red Fox, but Rusty Warren was just brilliant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because the big hit was called Knockers Up, and it was all about being proud to be a woman, not, you know, about sex, but, you know, she was right in that category. So those were hard times, and I applaud anyone who survived to any degree.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. Let me remind folks once again, Elaine Boozler, Timeless is the name of the box set. Everyone get that, and proceeds of that go to Animal Rescue. And she
TalesOfJoy.net.
TalesOfJoy.net. And just wonderful work that Elaine has been doing there and everybody involved. Good stuff. What's your main concentration with the Animal Rescue? I mean, where do you concentrate? You mentioned other countries. Are you obviously you're based out of the United States, but do you give us an overview of the organization?
Well, first, I just want to say I'm enjoying this so much because you actually know what I do and who I am. And I literally had a call yesterday and the opening line of the interviewer was, "So you wrote a book. Tell us all about it." And I went, "I've got to go."
Yeah.
So thank you. You know, it's really enjoyable, Frank, and I really appreciate it. We do what no one else in the world does, and we're all volunteers, so there's not a penny that goes to anyone who works with us or me. In fact, every penny I have goes to Tales of Joy, and every time a dog walks by, my husband says, "There goes our beach house." That beach house went a long time ago, but it's not just dogs. It's dogs and cats and bunnies and small exotics and snakes and rabbits and primates in Cameroon and big cats and, you know, wolves. And what we do is we're the little guys. We literally rescue the rescuers. We're the last line before there's no hope. We just keep the littlest rescue organizations or even individuals across the country from falling through the cracks. When I was on the road, you know, 30 years ago, and I got into a cab one day and the driver was crying. And I said, "Oh God, what's the matter?" And he said, "Oh, we have a golden retriever and she has cancer. She's only three, but I have three kids and we can't afford it, so we had to put her down." And I thought, oh gosh, and that kind of planted the seed. If I ever have a chance, you know, that would be a good thing to do, like people who are really good and, you know, can't afford the care. And, you know, I always say keeping an animal in a home is as good as putting an animal in a home.
Sure.
So basically, you know, I did a lot of research. I volunteered with the Humane Society of the United States for years. HSUS, do not give them a penny or I will come to your home and smack you. Yeah, they don't rescue animals. They're a lobbying group, but they make believe they rescue animals. Yeah. And they're horrible, and they pay million-dollar salaries, and they like Michael Vick and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Wow. And if you like Michael Vick, well, call me up, and I'll tell you why you shouldn't. But anyway, here's the thing. Nobody helps the little guys. And on the road, I would go visit, and, you know, three old ladies in Ohio would be saving more dogs and cats per year than the entire overpaid Humane Society of the United States. And I went, I'm going to help the little guys. So anyone who's falling through the cracks, if you go to Tales of rescuejoy.net/littleguygrants. We give out little guy grants. There's a list of hundreds of the rescues across the country we've helped over 20 years, and it's a one-person rescue, a two-person rescue, and, you know, the emails come fast and furious all day long. A dog just got hit by a car in Texas, two broken legs, we just need money to get into the vet. Oh my God, we have 30 dogs and we ran out of food for the month. Amazon will deliver that. Oh, it's snowing up in the north and our generator broke, we need $800 for a heater or they're all going to die. We do that. The everyday emergency that comes up for the little guys who are literally hand to mouth, that's what we do. The reason we went international was I talked to everyone and I'm on a flight back from Jordan 2 years ago.
Wow.
And yeah, got chatty with the flight attendant and it turns out she's Lebanese and the situation there is so horrible, and she flies in dogs to Canada and gets them rehabilitated. They never have more than three legs. Usually their ears are cut off to the head. I'll spare you. But
yeah.
So we've been funding her, and she's been doing incredible work. And then when I was in Israel to do a charity tour 2 years ago, there were 10 billion cats running around the streets. I said, what is this? Why are there a billion? I mean, have you ever been? It's nothing but cats. It's like carpeting. There's so many cats. And I said, what's going on? And they said, well, that was from the English. I said, hello, that was 70 years ago. Do you people get over anything?
Wow.
Once it happened 70 years ago, we're done. We can't fix it. So, you know, we're doing everything we can.
We'll be back right after this.
Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
Well, once again, Elaine Boozler, the wonderful Elaine Boozler, animal advocate and comedian and writer. And the organization is just wonderful. Buy the box set. Buy the box set. It is fantastic. Elaine Boozler, timeless. And you will be helping out Tales of Joy. It is fantastic. Elaine Boozler, once again, is our special guest.
Oh, thank you. You know, there are some surprises in that box set. It's only four of the original specials, Party of One, Top Tomato, Broadway Baby, and Live Nude Girls. But I did live new wraparounds for each one and told the story of how each one got made. So that's all brand new funny material at the head of each special. There are liner notes written by the very famous rock legend Bill Siddons, and it's a great story, the liner notes,
yeah.
And a little bit
Doors,
about Andy
right?
Kaufman.
Was he the manager of the Doors?
The Doors, yep.
Yeah.
And right now he's with Doyle Bramhall and Eric Clapton, but, you know, they're doing great. And so he did the liner notes, and the new CD that's with it, the new hour of material, has a lot of surprises on it. It's really nice. So, you know, for $19 plus the $25 to any animal rescue you like, I think it's a really good chance to get in there. Or if you just want to individually stream pieces, be my guest.
Yeah. Let me ask you real quick about, and not to focus on anything negative here, but you mentioned Jordan. I do quite a bit of traveling, and my wife and I are animal lovers. We have two dogs,
that's
five
great.
Cats.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're all nice. Rescues. I mean,
oh.
But what's the deal with Jordan? I mean, and cutting off the ears. First of all, what were you doing? Were you performing in Jordan?
You know, as I mentioned, I did a charity tour in Israel. And then, you know, my husband and I always take the chance to go further. And when we were done, we just walked across the border, rented a car, drove out to the desert, found some lovely Bedouins who would let us sleep in a tent in the middle of the Wadi Rum desert for a night, forgetting that it was going down to 0 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they drove us around and we got to see all the hidden caves and waterfalls. And this wasn't on any internet thing. We just go explore. And everyone said, you can't do that. And we said, well, you know, we hope we'll be safe, but it's kind of, we think what you put out a lot of the time. And we don't go to areas where we know it's highly dangerous, but it turned out to be quite wonderful. And I hope to go back.
Yeah, I'm a big traveler, you know, 40 countries, 50 states,
oh,
six continents, and I've stayed away from Jordan, but it's not Syria. I mean, let's face it, it's not.
It's very different,
yeah.
Very different. You know, Jordan, which is funny, I'm kind of parroting what the lovely people told us while dinner was cooking in a hole in the ground, which actually was really good.
Yeah.
And it cooks for 3 hours and it's covered up. And I said, oh, I only eat vegetables. And the guy said, that's okay. The chicken's on a different level in the hole. I said, great. So Jordan is the country where all the refugees go when there's war. And that's why the unemployment is 90% and the poverty is 200%. Yeah. He said, we have open borders. So when it's bad in Syria, they come here. When it's bad in Iraq, they come here. When it's bad in Afghanistan, they come here. So, you know, they were kind of lamenting that they can't get a foothold up because they are so welcoming and, you know, people flood in. And, you know, when you look at it, it's fascinating because where we ended up, you know, kind of going to the Wadi Rum Desert, that township, and I call it a township because it does mirror South Africa. It looks like the shanty towns in South Africa. It is abject poverty and, you know, not from lack of trying. These guys were incredible. And, you know, we just went into this town and they said, well, come in here. And I said, I don't think I want to go in there. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. And I said to my husband, the last line of every movie before they kill them, if you don't like it, you can leave. Get us out of here. You know, it was hilarious. But what's fascinating is they, you know, I have to say, America is a bit isolated just geographically, which makes us mentally a bit isolated. Yeah. You don't care to travel and you don't get a good overview of the world if you don't get educated or care to travel. By the way, I didn't graduate Sheepshead Bay High School. This is all from life. So yeah. I'm not a coastal elite. You know, don't throw that BS at me. I educated myself through curiosity and caring. And so, you know, basically, they have such a educated view of the world because they're watching it go by. They know so much about the world situation, you know, military, politics, economics, from just living it. And the most beautiful thing, and it still makes me tear up, that one of the gentlemen said to me was, he said, you know, I may never go anywhere in the world, but the whole world comes through here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very interesting. Elaine Boozler, once again, is our wonderful guest. Elaine Boozler, Timeless is the name of the box set. Everyone get this as soon as you can. Get this, and you're helping out Tales of Joy, which is a great organization. And if you don't get the box set for some strange reason, donate to Tales of Joy and go to talesofjoy.net. And you could make a donation there. What they're doing.
Yeah, they could look at our work. And you know what else? We sell amazing stuff. They could buy the most fun stuff in the world. We are just a happy website. You know how, like, you know, that commercial comes on and you run to the laundry room?
Yeah.
Don't show me the cats in the cages. We don't do that. We're the happy website because I'm a comedian. So it's fun. It's funny. It's entertaining. We don't put up the horrible stories. We only put up the happy endings. So if you go there, you're not going to go, get me out of here. It's all happy. And we sell amazing stuff, the most fun stuff in the world. And I just came from the Javits gift show in New York. And our holiday stuff that's going to be up in a month is going to be the most fun stuff you've ever seen if you love animals. So keep us in mind. You don't have to donate. You can just buy stuff. 100% of everything goes to rescue, not 10%. We're all volunteers. So 100% of anything you buy will save a life. So there you go.
Yeah, well, listen, just great, wonderful work there. You mentioned not completing Sheepshead Bay High School. Did you leave to pursue comedy or did you leave to do something else?
I left to survive. You know, I was really, was. I don't, you know, I think I'm the least known about, you know, public person. Everyone knows everyone's story. Nobody knows my story. I never talk about it. Yeah. You know, I was raised by the Taliban in Brooklyn. That's all I'll say. And it was not good. And I, in fact, you know, I've been working on my book called Big Fun for, you know, 20 years. It'll come out one day. Yeah. But literally, it starts like, it's not an autobiography. It's all the great stories of when I was starting out with Freddie Prinze and Andy Kaufman and Richard Belzer and Jimmy Walker and Richard Lewis and Larry David, you know, and then later in L.A. a year later, Letterman and Leno and Robin Williams. And, you know, it's great, but it's not an autobiography. It's the funny stories of that day, the second golden age of comedy, as I call it. And chapter one says childhood. It was bad. Chapter 2, 1973, and that's it. That's all you're going to get. You know, wow. You don't need my tale of woe. So it's very entertaining. And in fact, right now, I know, you know, History of Comedy is rerunning on CNN. They just did the new season for August. And
you've been great on that. You've been terrific.
Oh, thanks. So if you want to see that, that's fun. And of course, the HBO a Robin Williams special is running right now, and I'm in that, and it's called Come Inside My Mind. So there's a lot of nice stuff up right now. And the reason that the box set is timeless, you know, I always let things develop organically. Like, I don't just stick a name on something. So I'm watching the shows, and I went, oh, my God, the guns haven't changed. The politics hasn't changed. The women fighting hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. And I'm going back some, you know, Party of One was 1985. And so I started to put pieces up on YouTube and Instagram. And people said, oh, this is brilliant. When did you do this? And I said, 30 years ago. And they went, this is terrible. I said, I agree.
So, wow. Just
so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does it say about us? So I realized this stuff is timeless. Now, don't get depressed. It's only like a couple of jokes here and there about, you know, and the gun jokes get me applauded by, I was actually got a standing ovation by NRA guys in Tulsa because they were picketing my show because I went on the news. I'm talking about in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I was talking about, well, you know, there's this and that. And so I come to the big theater and they're picketing. And I said, guys, come on in. Come on in. There's seats. And they said, what? I said, come in. There's seats. And they watched the show. And the way the jokes, I mean, I've always just gone after the actual policies, not the people. I never attacked Bush or Reagan. I talked about the policies, what's going on. Well, if you take sex education out of the schools, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, Bush says we shouldn't teach sex education because birth is a miracle. Yes, it is. So is popcorn if you can't figure out how it happened, you know, things like that. So so at the end of my show, they loved the gun jokes because they were very smart. It wasn't anti-gun. It was anti-stupidity.
Yeah.
So I got a standing ovation. I went, I know I'm on the right track with the way I do my comedy. It's right down the middle, men and women. It's not a girl act or, you know, it's not specific to you. It's a person act. It's, I mean, I always said I'm a human being trapped in a woman's body, you know, and that's it. You know, they, well, do you do a woman's act? I said, I don't know. I talk to men all day long. Why would I stop at 8 o'clock at night? You know, I mean, it's, I'm a human being. We're talking to each other. So I realized this stuff is timeless and it just wrote itself, you know, so that was how that happened.
And that's the name of the box set. Please get this. Elaine Boozler, Timeless is the name of it. And proceeds are going to Tales of Joy, which is a great animal rescue organization and a charity, 100% charity. And like Elaine said, you don't have big salaries coming from there. It's all volunteers. Frank McKay here. Thrilled to be with Elaine Boozler for a couple more moments. And, you know, just really, it's been a wonderful career. It's still going strong. But, you know, you give back, and this Tales of Joy is just something that's terrific. And you're right to call out the organizations, the charities that are serving the, I don't know, the founders or the people. And
staff.
And, yeah, staff.
Yeah.
And you're paying all of these things for all of these funds for salaries. And people don't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I call them out and I do want to get the word out is this. Most people give once a year around the holidays and maybe it'll be $50 and that's great. And they send it to the Humane Society United States, HSUS, because they think, oh, they're the biggest, they're going to do the most. And they don't write another check. And we're the teeny little guys who go, well, that money is now out of the charity realm. You know, we don't get that. Nobody gets it but they. And, you know, there's $1 million salaries and perks and, you know, every possible thing they can come up with. And, you know, they don't run shelters. They don't adopt animals out. They're a lobbying organization. They work for good laws, but sometimes it takes 10 years to move the needle an inch. It doesn't do that much. Now, I want to be very clear. I don't want you to confuse Humane Society of the United States with the Humane Society in your city or town. You go to the Humane Society of Idaho or Ohio. Those are great.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Humane Society in general. It's HSUS, stay away. But the one in your town, I'm sure they're great. And it's not a bad thing if people get paid. I mean, look, it's a full-time job and they're running bigger organizations than we are. And, you know, I wait for the day that we can pay one person to catch us up because we'd rescue a lot more if we weren't having to do every single bit of it, you know, waiting for volunteers to show up. But I'm just saying, you know, check it out. There's charitynavigator.com. They will, you know, tell you who's, you know, what the percentage is of an organization's revenue. We have a gold rating from them for transparency in all of our money, and they know exactly what we do. So don't ever give before you go to Charity Navigator. They're, you know, they are unpaid, they're nonpartisan, and they'll tell you what your rescue does with its money. That's all you need to do. And all we do is give to local rescues. So if you don't want to, you know, I mean, a lot of times people aren't nonprofits, but they do all the work. If you give to us, you know, you get the write-off. We always do a receipt, and then we give to where you want it to go. So that's all I just say we launder money, basically. It comes in, it goes right out.
Elaine Boozler, Timeless is the name of the box set. It's over 5 hours of just wonderful work by Elaine, and also she wraps around the specials with stories and input from it. Frank McKay here with Elaine Boozler. We got a couple moments left. Elaine, I appreciate it. You've been very generous with your time here. Well, let me just ask you a business question here. Looking back on what you did and paying, I mean, you did it out of necessity. You had to pay to get your special done, and you had to do all of this. Knowing what you know now, if you could, would you do the same thing? And again, if you had, you know, assuming you had the money, is it a lot easier to put together something like Timeless, owning all of this rather than going through all the other people who own part of this and who had would have input? Would you have done this the same way, knowing what you know now?
Frank, I'd be making wind chimes at county fairs. This was the worst 46 years
Get out of here.
Oh, my God, the agony. Oh. You know what George Carlin used to say? That people used to say, oh, you make so much money, comedians. And he used to say, lady, you pay us for the other 23 hours. And he's right. The only joy in this is the time on stage and the time with the people afterwards. Everything else is a frigging nightmare. You know, don't let anybody tell you different. You know, I would have quit a billion years ago if A, I had any skills as a human being, and B, if I didn't love, you know, hanging with the fans after. And it's funny, but once I started the rescue in 2000, the relationship with the fans, the audience, got so much deeper, because people used to come up after the show and, oh, I love you, you're great. Oh, thanks. Oh, let's take a picture. And, you know, that was wonderful. But then when they realized what I did for animals, everyone comes up with the phone open. Okay, here's the rescue I got from. And it's so charming and lovely and warm. And it's so deep. The connection is so deep. And I realized, gosh, you know, there's something deeper to bond in here with people. Yeah, we love comedy, but we sure do love these critters. And so the joy part of getting into this is the work, but the work to get the work is too much work.
Yeah. Well, listen, yeah. Tales of Joy is just such a worthwhile organization. Everyone make a donation there. And if you buy Elaine Boozler's Timeless, you could do two things at once. You can get great entertainment and make a donation at the same time. And again,
I can even add one more. You were going to say.
No.
I can add another layer to that. You
please.
Know, Amazon has a charity program, and they give a very small percentage of, once you're signed to a charity that you choose, they give a very small percentage to that charity every time you shop. We don't know what you buy. It's totally private, but they just once a quarter write a check. And so if you start Amazon at smile.amazon.com, instead of just going to amazon.com, you go to smile.amazon.com, choose Tales of Joy Studio City, California. You bookmark it. It opens every time. You don't even have to be bothered. You do it once. That's the end of it. Every time you buy anything, we get a little piece of your shopping, and that makes a big difference for us. So it's funny with the box set. We'll give you $25 for a rescue. Amazon will give us a piece of the box set from you. We're giving the box set money. So it's really great, and it would help us a lot if anyone listening who shops at Amazon, you know, chose Tales of Joy Studio City at smile.amazon.com, bookmarked it, and every time you shop, we'll get a little piece of your shopping, and, you know, you'd be saving an animal every time you buy something. So you're not shopping, you're actually rescuing.
That's terrific. Yeah,
did I convince you of that?
Oh,
that you don't have to feel guilty shopping?
No, listen, let me tell you, you're just wonderful. I mean, your whole career has been great and inspirational, and you're very talented, very funny. But
you're very kind.
Oh, listen, thank you. I appreciate you for you know, spending this much time with us. And
my
again,
pleasure,
talesofjoy.net is where you go for this. Where else can they go to follow you? And again, Frank McKay here with Elaine Boozler, and Elaine Boozler Timeless is the name of the box set. Can you give us a website or a social media site where they could follow you?
Oh, yeah. Well, ElaineBoozler.com, and that has, you know, everything that's going on right now. And oh gosh, you know, just it's my name on Amazon and Instagram and Twitter, and I think I'm still on MySpace, and just all the social media in the world. If you type my name in, I'm in there. And, you know, I try and it's so interesting. I know we're out of time, but you know how the New York Times, like on Sunday at the in the magazine, the last page, they'll have a, like a one pager on a celebrity. Yeah. So a week or two ago, I guess it was Seinfeld because he was promoting the new season of his show, you know, Comedians in Cars. Yeah. And so they said, so you're on Twitter. And he said, yeah. And they said, so are you put up jokes? He said, I don't put up anything funny on Twitter. And I went, what? And he said, I'm not giving this away. Oh, you know, that's to advertise my thing. I'm not putting up, you think I want to work for free every day and put up jokes and, you know, that's entertain funny. People for, and I just went, oh God, I've been doing it wrong. So if you want free comedy every day, you'll get it from me, darn it.
Yeah. Oh, it's just dynamite. Are you going to be touring to promote the box?
You know what? No, this year I decided it was March 3rd. I said, this is my last gig for a while. So after 46 years, I hung it up for now because I do want to finish the books Big Fun and Tales of Joy book. And, you know, maybe after that I'll go back. But for now, I'm done touring for at least a year.
Well, listen, congratulations on everything. Congratulations on the retirement, the semi-retirement.
I would never use that word. It's just, you know, that's okay. It just sounds like, you know, I mean, I'm working harder now, you know, writing the book and putting the box set together and all that. So it's just a break from stand-up, but there's so much else. It's just, you know, that's all.
Yeah, well, that's got to feel good, right? I mean, it's got to feel good, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. It's very nice. You know, I realize I'll just start talking to people in the supermarket and making them laugh. So obviously I need to do some stand-up every day, but I'm just not touring right now.
Oh, listen, Elaine Boozler, just congratulations and thanks for everything you're doing with Tales of Joy. And again, for all of you, talesofjoy.net, you can make a donation by
or
buying.
Shop.
Yeah, just shop, and you can get it at Amazon. You can, but it's Elaine Boozler, Timeless.
Or ElaineBoozler.com. You can get it there.
Yeah, well, listen, you're the best, Elaine. Thanks a million for being here. I've been waiting for a long time to get you on, and thrilled to have you, and you're just wonderful. So thank you very much.
Frank, this was an absolute pleasure, and I cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much.
Elaine Boozler, everyone, has been our very special guest. And again, all kidding aside, talesofjoy.net is somewhere you should go. And anyone who loves animals and loves humans, whatever, just go there. It's all for charity. And buy the box set. It is fantastic. It's over 5 hours of Elaine Boozler, and it's Elaine Boozler's Timeless. And buy it. And get it as soon as you can. Frank McKay signing off. Elaine Boozler has been our very special guest. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.